Now, I understand this, saying, I'm not where I used to be, but you have to finish it and say, I'm not where I'm going to be. You can't say, I've made enough progress, I'm satisfied, and the Lord's going, hey, the finish line is over here. Keep looking to Jesus, keep running, keep growing in grace. Keep looking for some higher living. Keep stepping it up. Keep striving. Keep pressing. Continue. Starting well is great. But God's waiting at the finish line. Praise the Lord. God's given us good music in our church. And I believe that Jesus Christ is to be the center of our singing. He's to be the center of our preaching. He's to be the center of our fellowship. He is to be the center of our giving. If it weren't for Jesus Christ, what is the point? Take your Bibles and go with me to Psalms 133. In Psalms 133, starting in verse 1, it says, Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. I want us to think about this, and I love this picture of the church found in Philippians in chapter 1, striving together for the hope of the gospel, in one mind, in one spirit, the church working together. And God has placed a sense of teamwork in the Bible where we see the church as a family, we see the church as a building, we see the walls and the roof and all the parts connected together, fitly built on Jesus Christ. We see the church as a body in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. God gives us that understanding that we are in this together. And we're connected. It says that each joint supplies to the other what's needed. The word here, good and pleasant, is used in the scripture. It's three different things that it means. And the first one is harmony in music. I was thinking the ladies got up here and they started to sing, Let's Worship the Lord. And I was thinking, hey, wait, that's the men's song. Now, what are the ladies doing stealing the men's song? And I thought, well, they sound rather nice singing it, though. Amen. And they did harmonize well. Yeah. Now, a lot of times when there's a group like that singing, I will sit and I'll listen. And I can't hear as well as most of you. Right, dear? But I'll sit and see if I can hear the individual voices. And they blended really well. Where they had four and it made one. So, the first thing is harmony and music. The other night we went and saw a recital. And in the recital, it's kind of like you see all the younger beginners playing first, and some of them some of them did rather well. And there was one in particular, but then they usually have in the end of the program the harder numbers, and Abby played a duet with another girl with a violin, and it's extremely challenging to play this whole piece of music in unison and in harmony. They both had little solo parts during it, or parts where they played accompaniment and the other one played the other, whatever that's called. But Jerry asked me how it went. And I said, I don't know how it could have went any better. And every recital we went to hasn't been that case. Sometimes the students forget. Sometimes our student forgets the piece of music in the middle through stress or the pressure of playing. But It just went very well. And I love to see an orchestra. There's all these parts. And the violins get out, and then the horn, and then the clarinets, and then the flutes are over there, and then the person playing the xylophone. I just love to see all that come together. And it's better than any one by itself. The lady singing the piano, the organ, praise God. And it doesn't just happen. It has to happen on purpose. You guys understand what I'm saying? You can't say, coming in, oh, you four are just going to sing together and we'll see how it goes. There's got to be some work that provides harmony. Now, here we see how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. So the first one is harmony in music. The second one is harmony in the field. And this is talking about the harvest. You spend all this time where you plow the field, you disc the field, you harrow the field, you plant the field, you fertilize the field, you weed the field, and the corn grows up. And then maybe even go and you get a few birds spent out on the field and put up a scarecrow and take care of this field all through. And then in the fall, you know, that field corn that they grind up and make cornmeal out of, those ears kind of flop down. And this little neck here, on some varieties, a good wind comes along and it shakes it and it falls on the ground, Bob. And a corn picker don't pick it up off the ground, does it, Greg? Now, I went through fields and gleaned corn off the ground, but all those things come in, and then it has to have a certain amount of time drying on the stalk. Otherwise, you have to dry it with propane dryer. Otherwise, the corn will mold or rot on you. So it sits in the field, and you get a few good frost, and the frost pull the water out of that corn, and it's ready. It's to a certain point of humidity. When you take a big tractor trailer load of corn to the silo, they put down a scoop in there, and they pull out about a coffee can full of corn, and it's down from the middle. And they take it, and they run it in, they put it in the machine, and they come out, and they know the percent of humidity in that corn. And if it's too wet, they dry it, and you don't get quite the price for it because they charge you to dry it. But if it's nice and dry, you get the top price that you've negotiated already. So the harmony of everything coming together and all this season of work and all the way back from pulling the stones out of the field and everything comes together and you got your harvest of corn. The third thing that this unity is pleasant is the taste of honey compared with things that are bitter. It's good and pleasant. I'm a honey bear. I had a whole quart of honey and I drank it 2 tablespoons every day and a cup of coffee until that whole quart was gone. And I just enjoyed the sweetness of that honey in my coffee. So we have the harmony in music, we have harmony in the field, we have harmony in the sweetness of honey as contrasted with the bitterness. It's pleasant. Let me read you a couple other scriptures the Lord touches on unity in 1 Corinthians 1:10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. In Ephesians chapter 4, follow with me. I therefore, in verse 1, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. What is the unity of the Spirit? If Christ has saved me and He's placed the seal of the Holy Spirit on me, I have that promise in the Scripture, amen? Till the day of redemption. Now, if Christ has saved you, Cleon, and you have that seal, then if He saved you, Denny, if He saved you, Ed, if He saved you, Joanne, if He saved you, Lori, if He saved you, William, we all have the same, anybody? Same last name? No, it's not that. We all have the same Spirit of God. Now, because we have the same, we got the same thing. No, this is a greater connection. It's a stronger connection. We have the unity of the bond of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit. The strongest force on earth. But we've got to endeavor to keep it. Denny, come help me. You're going to help me out a couple of times today. Come help me. Can you get that end of the table? Get that end. Go ahead. Let's set it up. You're twisting it. Okay, set it up. All right. Good there? You think it's good there? Okay, set it up. All right, go ahead and sit down. Thank you, Denny. Now, do you guys see this table we got here? In comes Miss Lori Reagan, and she brings in a pea salad. Now, it would have been better if you'd made cheesy peas out of them peas, but she brought in a pea salad, and she puts it right here. Now, in comes Miss Mabel, and she says, oh, that'll never do. That should be done with the other salads. And she brings it down here and puts it with the other salads. And Lori comes back by, she goes, oh, now who is my pea salad? And she brings it back down here and puts it over here. And then Mabel says, oh, no, one of the kids must have got a hold of that salad. They need to be down with the other salad. And she puts it down with the other salad. And next thing you know, Lori and Miss Mabel are outside by the ditch wrestling. No, you're right, Judy, no. They'll just be mad at each other for 10 years over the pea salad that don't make a bit of difference. Over a pea salad. I lie. Can you take that table down, Denny? I don't like walking around it. Don't spill the pea salad while you're doing it. There is one body, one Spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. There's one Spirit, there's one Lord, and there's one God. And we have connection and bonding through each of them. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But unto every one of you is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. You're going to need to take that grace that you've been given. And you're going to have to sprinkle some on Miss Lori once in a while. You know, that sounds funny, but I am serious. You're going to need to sprinkle some on me once in a while. It takes that grace. And it's the grace of God. And it's, you have received grace, for by grace are you saved. You share grace with someone else. You can't save someone else, but you can save a relationship. You can save a good attitude. You can save your mindset. You can have harmony, the sweetness of honey. You notice how pleasing some people can be when they want to? Yeah, I used to really enjoy that hat, and it said I didn't wake up grumpy this morning. I left her sleeping. That was before I got married. Now I never say that. I don't think it's funny at all. It's not one bit funny. It's horrible. I don't know why I didn't see that when I was younger, but... We were going to get this placemat for our door, and it says, in this house lives one beautiful person and one old grump. For Jackie and I. Of course, she would be the beautiful person. Most days. I mean, she... Uh-oh. Look me in the eyes. Do I see death there? Okay, I'm okay. I'm still okay. You ever have a bad day?
Yes.
You bite somebody's head off and you know you did it and you know you shouldn't, but you can't stop and you keep going?
Yes.
Or you even apologize and then you do it again 2 minutes later. What's wrong with me? We have got to endeavor to keep that unity of the Spirit. You know, the devil wants to destroy that. He wants to get in and sow discord. He wants to get in and sow unhappiness. He says, okay, you're saved and I can't have your soul, but I'm going to have you miserable for your whole life. I can't take you to hell with me, but I can make your life here on earth seem like it. It's good to dwell together in harmony. It's good when all the instruments are tuned up proper to the Lord, and then we can play properly together with one another. If I'm not in tune here, it is not going to happen this way. Aaron's beard that went down to the hem of his garment. Guys, you guys can talk about where the hem of the garment was, but I was looking at some scripture that leads me to believe that Aaron's hem of his garment was past his waist. I believe it was, yeah. That's quite a beard, isn't it, Greg? It's like that precious ointment that flows down like Aaron's beard. I want you to look at several things. First of all, that ointment is perfume. Usually when somebody calls you and says, come and smell this, or you wouldn't believe the smell of this, it's not going to be a good thing. Hey, smell this. No, no. If your face looks like that and you just smelled it, throw it away. Don't make me smell it too. Let's open it up so everybody can smell it. I was loading a truck and I started smelling garlic. I was like, boy, this smells good in here. You know, I don't always smell good things in the packages. I don't smell every package, but sometimes some of them grab a hold of me. But perfume. Perfume is a good idea. You know who likes perfume? You know who likes perfume? God likes perfume! I know, with men it's cologne, but it's just perfume for men. Not too much, right, Greg? A little bit. You can do enough to knock a person over, but a little bit's good. And it beats the alternative in many situations. Perfume rejoices the heart. God has some compounds you can look at in Deuteronomy and Leviticus. They says, this is the recipe that you put together for incense that you only use in the house of God. I read it this morning. And it says, not exactly these words, but if anybody else uses it, they're in big trouble. They'd be put outside the camp. And that meant that they were going to put them out there and they were going to stone them to death. Nobody had the right to use God's recipe. Take and read the Book of Song of Solomon. And just look at how many times God says, smell good. Smell good. Smell good for one another inside your marriage. Smell good for other people. So smelling good is a good thing. It's good to smell good. I would way rather smell perfume than Ben Gay. Is anybody with me? I like my wife to put on some perfume when I know she did it just for me. This unity is a perfume for the Lord. It says, ointment and perfume rejoice of the heart, so doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. And God is pleased with us when we are dwelling in unity. How many of you had some kids? God gave me 6 kids. And then I had other kids that I kind of watched at different times, Brother Greg. Once a year at Christian school, they have this giant yard sale down the road. And I was the man teacher, and all the lady teachers thought that they needed to go to that yard sale. And I thought, well, if they think they need to go, then I think they need to go too. So I say, all right, give me all the kids. All the kids. So I got the kindergarten, I got the first and second grade, I've got the third and fourth, fifth and sixth, I've got all the high school, got all the kids. Teachers get out the driveway and go, and I say, all right, kids, we're going to go outside and play kickball. They all go, yay, you're the greatest. We'd run out and play kickball. There we go. All right, we got to get back inside before they come back. It's good to dwell together in unity. You know, every kid was behind that decision. Like, we're with you, Mr. Beatty. Let's all go play kickball. Nobody said, oh, man, can't we just stay in here and do some more language? Can we diagram some sentences before we go out? Please, no one. It is so nice to dwell together in unity. I coached on the soccer team, and I'd run those guys until somebody was nearly dead. And then I'd say, now we're a winning team. And then I'd get the guys that couldn't go any further, and I'd have 2 guys on each side helping them run, pulling on their arms. The other coach wanted the guys to listen to him. So you know what he did? He said, guys, take a break. Go get a drink of water. They all like, yes, sir. And they ran to get a drink. Unity is when our hearts are all the same direction toward God. You didn't ask me if you could wear that tie. Oh, I don't remember that. We don't have time for this now. We're going to talk about this. So it's perfect. It's perfume in Philippians 2, in verse 2. It says, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like wine, and having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind, let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Denny Lish, help me again. Here's your starting blocks right here. Denny in high school was an excellent, and it don't look like it.
No.
It don't look like it. He was a speed guy in track.
Take 110 pounds off.
He weighed 40 pounds. No wonder he could go so fast. Okay, get down on your mark. Okay. On your mark. Okay. The secret was the aerodynamics here on the head. Now, Denny was able to go 10 steps faster than anybody in the country. That's incredible. I'm glad I know you just because of that. That's incredible. Now he has metal knee and a metal hip, and he's not going to do the 10 steps. But he still has the same heart. He could beat me 10 steps right now. He's got a few tricks. But he told me one of his tricks. When they would get the starting gun up, he'd watch it out of the corner of his eye. No one knew he was watching it, but he's watching it. Now, they put it behind a little board, so you can't see the guy squeezing the trigger. But then he's not watching for the trigger. He's watching for a little smoke that had come out of the end of the barrel before the sound reached his ear. You ever watch somebody hitting something, bang, and then the noise gets to you, bang? If you're a couple hundred yards away, you can see, you can recognize this a little better, but, you know, you can still hear it over distance, the sound traveled. So here he is, he's watching, he sees the smoke, and he's like, boom. But he's not breaking full start. He's just getting a quicker start. To get those first 10 steps, though, it takes a lot of strength and a lot of drive, a lot of power. Right?
Explode.
Explosive speed. Something I don't know anything about. I got to take three before I start moving. Thank you, Denny. Go ahead and sit down. Now, here's what happens with a lot of Christians. We're told to press toward the mark, to strive for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And we kind of get in our crouch, and we get ready to start, and we take a few good steps. They don't say who got the first 10 steps fastest when they're doing the race. You got to get down here to the end. And now you're breaking the tape up here. Whoop! Who broke the tape first? That's the guy that wins. So it's an advantage to be ahead after 10 steps. But we got to finish well. That unity, it's a power and a strength. We got the cloud of witnesses in heaven in Hebrews 12. We got a cloud of witnesses here on earth, the church. You can't get in the middle of the race and say, I'm running pretty well. Now, I understand this, saying, I'm not where I used to be, but you have to finish it and say, I'm not where I'm going to be. You can't say, I've made enough progress, I'm satisfied, and the Lord's going, hey, the finish line is over here, keep looking to Jesus, keep running, keep growing in grace. Keep looking for some higher living. Keep stepping it up. Keep striving. Keep pressing. Continue. Starting well is great. But God's waiting at the finish line. He's waiting at the finish line. He wants to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. It's perfume, it's power, it's purpose. In Exodus 30, 25, and thou shalt make of it an holy ointment and an ointment compound after the art of the apothecary. It shall be a holy anointing oil, and thou shalt anoint the tabernacle of the congregation therewith, and the ark of the testimony, and the tables, and all his vessels, and the candlestick, and his vessels, and the altar of incense, and the altar of burnt offering with his vessels, and the laver in his foot. And thou shalt sanctify them, that they may be most holy. Whatsoever toucheth them shall be holy. And thou shalt anoint Aaron and his sons, and consecrate them that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. This is God speaking. He said, we're going to dedicate and set apart these things. We're consecrating them. We're setting them apart for one use, a service for the Lord. When we have the unity that God supplies us, we are consecrated and dedicated to Him. There's no, here I am out here not a Christian anymore, and okay, now I'm doing Christian things, so I'm a Christian. No, we have a responsibility that continues over into Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Sometimes we forget. We're willing to say, I belong to the Lord. I've been bought with the price of precious blood of Christ, not incorruptible things. But then on Monday, we forget. Oh, this is mine. I already gave God His time. If we belong to God, why do we have more time for us than God has of our time? I got my favorite little dog. And if I sit in the house and I'm resting, I want the dog to come up and comfort me. Just to sit with me. And I'll say, get up here, you filthy animal. She'll like, do I have to? I'll say, yeah, get up here. This is what you do to earn your food. And she comes and she sits with me. And I like to have her there with me, Bob. Sitting. I don't have to pet her or anything. She just sits there, satisfied, comforted. Sometimes God just wants us to sit and be still and serve Him. Maybe not doing anything special, just setting apart. God, this is time I'm going to think and meditate on You. Lord, this is the time I'm going to read the Scripture, and then I'm going to ask You to speak to me through it. I'm going to stop and I'm going to chew on a verse. I'm going to take it apart. I'm going to think about it. I'm going to concentrate on it. At that point in that time, our willingness is taken by the Holy Spirit and He works on our life. They were anointing all these things so that they had a dedicated purpose. The labor. Inside the court where just the priest went, and he washed himself, and it was made out of brass mirrors that they brought from Egypt, highly reflective. So the laver was a type of a mirror, but it was a type of a bath too. And they washed himself, being ceremonially cleansed, reflecting that they were spiritually cleansed by confessing their sins. The labor was not to be used for a kiddie pool on off days outside the tabernacle. It wasn't to be used for a bird bath. It was dedicated for one use. If you belong to the Lord, there are things you should not listen to. There are conversations you should not allow to continue near you. Because I belong to God and you just can't talk like that near me. Because we have a dedicated purpose. It's pleasant. In John 13:35, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. It's protection. Yeah. Ever have somebody spray you down with tea tree oil? Yeah, I wish I didn't know what it was too, but I do. It's supposed to take care of bugs and mosquitoes and all these kind of things, and especially no-see-ums. You have no-see-ums up there in Canada? Sharon? Oh, man. You can't see them, but they got big teeth somehow. Oh. They're horrible. It's one of those curses we got when Adam and Eve sinned. Like, cursed be the ground and bring out some weeds and bring out some bugs and bring out some sickness. And those no-see-ums and those mosquitoes popped up and, oh, lice and all sickness and all that nasty that wasn't before sin. All the weeds, you know, those ones that prickle. Yeah, those thistles, they can have 100 feet of root under the ground. And if you spray it with something like Roundup, it truncates out at 6 feet and the rest of it goes dormant for a while. So it kind of gets its head down and says, hang low and we'll pop out when they're not expecting it. And you have to spray consistently for 2 years to get rid of that thistle. That horrible stuff, Cleon. It can stay underground for 180 days. And all of a sudden, bink, a little scout pops his head up and looks around. Unity is protection. When I am spiritually at unity with my family, we have a tighter bond. And I'm not isolated. I'm not alone. I'm together. You watch all those fish in the ocean, and they look like a cloud. And here comes a swordfish through it, and he just like, whoop, and he goes through the middle, and they come back together. And he comes out, and he's empty. And he's like, where did they go? And he can't see one because he sees the cloud of them. You see those pigeons that fly over Rome, or the starlings, and they're just in shapes, and they used to use those to cast the predictions of the future, but they're all together and a hawk comes by and he can't focus on anyone because of the group. There's safety and protection in the unity of the group. And God gives us protection when we're together. If one guy's by himself and he falls down, woe to him. But if he's with his brother and his brother pulls him and helps him up, you're with another Christian, and all of a sudden you utter out a curse word, and they look at you and go, hey, you're not supposed to be saying that. Not because they're self-righteous or think they're better than you, but because they want to help you and they love you. That's what unity is. I don't like the way you're talking. There's safety. When we sin, we isolate ourselves. We get off and we separate. And we sin by ourselves. There's peace and unity. Of course, when you're at unity, you're at peace, right? The peace owlet can sit wherever it wants because we're at peace with one another. Praise the Lord. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy, that the fruit of my righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. I want to give you a couple more. It is purifying when we have unity, and it is precious. Mary took that ointment, and she broke the box, and she dumped it on Jesus' feet and anointed his feet, and he said it was for his burial. It was worth 100 days of labor. And Judas is like, I can't believe we didn't sell that and give money to the poor. He didn't have respect for the Lord's body. It's precious. In our church, we should have unity in area of doctrine, God's Word. King James Bible, 1611. God's Word for the English-speaking people. The Bible that God's blessed and God's used. We should have unity in love. We should love two kinds of people, those that are saved and those that are not saved. We should have unity in giving. I want to encourage you to think about the missions. I want to encourage you to think about, I'd like to support Brother Alex James on a regular basis. Amen? You know where it's going to come from? You know, it's kind of the pastor, good news. We got the money we need for the special need. Everyone's like, yay! He says, but it's still in your pockets. Oh! God places in a body of church what is needed. I wholeheartedly believe that. In faithfulness. Is attending church once a month good enough? Is that unity? In attending and in doing special service. In our music. Are we willing? Are we worshiping? And are we washed? And are we working in other places? You know, it's the little foxes that spoil the grapes. It's an area of compromise that happens. I'm responsible to God to hold a certain line. And that's the content of our music that is glorifying and honoring God. There's a whole trend where entertainers get into church music and they're just waiting to catch their good break so they can get noticed and go on and do real music. This is the real music. That is the trash. I'm trying to remember where this happened to me this week. It was a young boy and he was talking about what he was going to do when he grew up. And he said something about being a professional athlete. And I said, you better have a good plan B. And it's good to have a goal like that and go ahead and go for it. But you better have a good plan B, right, Mom? You played with some guys that went to the pros in your high school days, right? And you had ability similar to theirs, didn't you, at that point? You could have developed and you could have been Earl Hershiser or Bob McCann, a famous baseball player. Then he could have went on and been the Olympian sprinter. But God had other plans for your lives. You better have a good plan B. We can kind of set high goals, and we should. I think we should. But we better, in God's will, to not plan and to stubbornly not plan is a rebellion to God. It's a wasting of our talents. It's a wasting of the opportunities God's given us. All those guys that wanted to be baseball players, everybody wants to be a professional. It might be football, it might be hockey, it might be baseball. But we all have that dream. Some of us know it's a dream, and other people take it serious. So you end up playing in church leagues, end up like Pastor Jerry and I, going to a gym and paying money to play. Oh, wait, something's backwards about this. I'm supposed to be getting paid when I play. But that's all for self-glory, isn't it? If you get up and minister in music in the church, and it's about you, that's the problem. It's to direct honor and glory to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It needs to be done in humility. We should endeavor to do the very best we possibly can. However, nobody in the audience needs to be sitting here going, "Oh, don't quit your day job!" Because that's not what... It's about glorifying the Lord. And I know about the judging panel, and I did not follow and don't follow and don't watch American Idol, but I know about the judging panel where they go, "Oh, you're horrible, you're terrible," and people have got their credit or their scorecards out, and somebody sings in church and they're taking notes. And their mind's not on God. And it's not holy. It's to bring us into a place of worshiping the Lord together. If you're critiquing, your heart and mind is not in a place where you're going to be ready for the message. When we sing the congregational songs, just let it rip. You got the protection of all the people around you that everyone's not going to hear. And, you know, I sing with my brother Paul in his church because I like to sing with him. And all of a sudden he stops and lets me sing a verse by myself. I'm like, "You turkey, I wanted to sing under the cover of your voice and kind of just try to harmonize you. And there he is, and I got to sing a verse by myself." We're not going to do that to you during the congregational singing. You can just let it rip. Just point your head toward the sky and open your mouth wide and sing with glory and gusto to God. And I mean, direct it to God. "Lord, I'm singing to you." There should not be a schism in the body over the music. "I didn't get to sing." You know, Cleon gets to play his harmonica more than I get to sing. What's up with him? Why is he so special all of a sudden? It's the pea salad. That's why I use the pea salad first. It's petty. I'm willing to have 7 specials every Sunday. As long as I get to preach the distance afterwards. I don't think we should have an hour of music and 10 minutes of preaching. We ought to at least be equal. Are you guys with me on that?
Amen.
Uh-oh. Maybe double, right?
Amen.
It should be willing. "God, I'm serving you. I love you." It shouldn't be a place where I'm upset, I'm offended, I've been hurt. I'll be open. We ought to be able to talk about it in a very open, clear way. Sometimes it's a place of stress. If Brother Jackson's going to practice with you, he has to know it. He has to be ready. And sometimes he just feels flat out lousy. And after a service, all he could think about is getting home and getting to his air conditioner and his lazy boy. And God obviously wants him to have them because he gave them to him.
Yeah.
Isn't God good? Heather has 3 boys. And sometimes Jerry's not watching them. Did anybody notice that? I say, all right, Heather, you're going to practice with me now. Well, maybe not right now. The attitudes have to be right on both sides. If you can deal with Abby and her temperamental ways, she might help you out with some accompaniment. Here's Abby playing the piano. No, I'm really kidding. But it's the concentration. It's not the anger coming out. I promise you that. Miss Judy, you didn't even see what I did.
No, I didn't. She heard it.
She did hear it. Let's have unity. You know how those people gather together in a rope across the ice, and one's holding on to one's holding on, the other guy gets in and he reaches in the hole and he grabs a hold of the guy that's struggling and pulls him up, then the whole line pulls? A chain is as strong as its weakest link. You look around and say, what would this church be if every member was just like me? And you'll know whether you're contributing to unity or detracting from it. Do you come grumpy? Do you take it out on other people? Do you have a bad time driving in traffic and come to church and yell at Cleon about it? He wasn't driving in front of you, or maybe he was. We need to come here happy because of our God. Let me just share one more thing with you. It says, in those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. The parts that are ugly are pretty necessary. I'm going to leave it at that. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to the part which lacketh. That there should be no schism in the body, but that all members should have the same care. It's easy for any one of us to go, well, yeah, I like Bob McCann. Everybody likes Bob McCann. But that Greg? He won't even shake my hand. He don't want to give me a holy kiss. What's wrong with him? He's going, what's wrong with you, Pastor? There should be no schism in the body. Okay. Denny, you've done it so far. Get up here. This is a schism in the body. Denny gets a knife in his hand, and all of a sudden his hand says, oh, I'm sick of being left out and everything, and I'm just going to, oh, the eyes, they get so much credit, and they get to see everything, and the hand doesn't get to do anything but get smashed between two boards. So the knife and the hand is going to poke out the eye. There, I took care of that. Oh, wait, what about the mouth? It always gets a tasting, so you can cut the lips off. Okay, how many of you guys think we should throw Denny in the insane asylum? Before he hurts himself anymore. Oh, no, it's his favorite. When we hurt one another, we're crazy. The schism in the body. What am I doing here? What's wrong with me? Right? Now, no one is going to love me on earth more than her. Okay? Now, as a result, I care more about what she says than anyone else. Sorry, Greg. She can hurt me by what she says. I can get to where everything she says hurts me. Now, I'm pretty good at conjuring things. She goes, you know, that suit looks a little big on you. I go, oh, so you're saying my arms aren't very big. And you think I'm not a big man. You think I'm a little guy. And man, I'm not enough for you. And what's wrong with it? And she's like, no, it's just, no, it was innocent. I wasn't trying. No, no. You can desire to be upset. A wounded spirit, who can bear? And if a person throws you on the other side, you're helpless in that situation. Unity is where we care about each other enough that we're not always upset, but that we get along. So Denny does not. Have you ever taken a knife and stabbed yourself?
No.
Ever cut yourself like ch-ch-ch-ch-ch?
Mm-hmm.
A whole bunch of times? Or?
No.
It's working, right?
It's working.
I got a hold of something yesterday and got me too. There's a problem if we start hacking at our own body, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Let's have this unity. No schism in the body. And sometimes the fact that we have harmony and peace is more important than where the peace salad was sitting. And a lot of things that we figure out to fight over are peace salad. Just saying, I'm going to have a seat, Denny. Pastor Jerry's coming with a song of invitation.
You've been listening to a message from the pulpit of Town Center Baptist Church in Happy Valley, Oregon. We invite you to come visit us at 10505 Southeast 85th Avenue in Happy Valley. If we can be of help to you, please call us at 503-659-4494. We wish you God's very best.